Good morning. As you see, the children are dismissed to Children's Church. My name is Mabel Dirksen, and I am part of the World Missions Action Team here at Bridgeway Community Church, and we have the privilege of welcoming Rebecca Hebert to be with us today. Rebecca Hebert is a missionary with Multiply, which is the missions organization, the global missions organization that is associated with the MB Church denomination. And she is serving in Thailand and has been in Thailand for quite some time, and we've had the honor of partnering with her since she started working in Thailand. So we're so excited to have her here. And thank you to the many people who've already opened your homes over the last day and Friday, as well as today, to make Rebecca feel welcome and here in Swift Current. I really appreciate that. And I know Rebecca appreciates that as well. So Rebecca, may God bless you as you share with us.
Good morning. It's really great to be with you today, back in snowy Saskatchewan. Thailand doesn't have this kind of weather, so it's good to come back and remember that there's seasons again. I feel really privileged to be here with you this morning and really thankful. And today I do want to share about some of the incredible things that God is doing in Thailand. But before I do that, I want to share with you from God's Word. And I want to share with you in a style that we use when we start new groups in new communities where we don't have people who are trained in Bible school yet, and we are just studying God's Word together. But before I do that, I'd like to just pray and ask God to lead us. And then, yeah, we'll get started. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be here in Swift Current, and thank you for your church. Thank you that you are here in this place, that you love your people, and that you love the people around us too. And so, God, as we come and explore your word together today, I pray that you would speak to us, that we would hear your voice, that we would know what it is that you're inviting us into. And I ask that you would guide this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles here today, I'd invite you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 38 to 41. Elisha now returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. One day, as the group of prophets was seated before him, he said to his servant, "Put a large pot on the fire and make some stew for the rest of the group." One of the young men went out into the field to gather herbs and came back with a pocketful of wild gourds. He shredded them and put them into the pot without realizing they were poisonous. Some of the stew was served to the men, but after they had eaten a bite or two, they cried out, "Man of God, there's poison in this stew." So they would not eat it. Elisha said, "Bring me some flour." Then he threw it into the pot and said, "Now it's all right. Go ahead and eat." And then it did not harm them. How many of you read this story every day? Yeah, me neither. So I'm going to invite you to read it with me one more time, just so that we get it into our heads before we start talking about it. So we'll read it all together. One, two, three, go. Elisha now returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. One day, as a group of prophets was seated before him, he said to his servant, "Put a large pot on the fire and make some stew for the rest of the group." One of the young men went out into the field to gather herbs and came back with a pocketful of wild gourds. He shredded them and put them into the pot without realizing they were poisonous. Some of the stew was served to the men, but after they had eaten a bite or two, they cried out, "Man of God, there's poison in this stew." So they would not eat it. Elisha said, "Bring me some flour." Then he threw it into the pot and said, "Now it's all right. Go ahead and eat." And then it did not harm them. Okay, just to keep this story in our heads, I'd like you to turn to the person beside you and tell the story to them as much as you remember. I hope not. Did anyone put wild gourds in their chili today? I planned this before I knew about the chili fest. So now that you've had a chance to tell this story, hopefully, I'd like to ask us, what do we learn about God in this story? What does this story tell us about God? Because we're not sitting in a circle and there's a lot of people and we probably wouldn't hear each other, I'm going to give us some ideas. So I see that God provides for his people, even in a time of famine. I see that he cares about his people. I see that he protects people and that he empowers ordinary people to do miracles. Elisha was just a man who would say things that God told him. And when he threw flour into a pot of stew, which shouldn't be able to cancel out poison, I'm not a scientist, but as far as I know, there is no chemical part of flour that cancels poisonousness. But God can do miraculous things through ordinary people. I also see that even what seemed like it would lead to death wasn't an obstacle for God. So as we think about what we learn about God, let's also think about what do we learn about people. When I think about the servant, the guy who went out and got the wild gourds, I realized that people make mistakes. I think people don't always consider the consequences of what they're consuming. I'm sure the prophets didn't even question what was in the stew. I see that people need God to intervene. Whether it's because of a famine or because of poison, we can't save ourselves. But I also see how people can do miraculous things with God's help. I feel like there's some miscommunication in this story too, because Elisha tells his servant to go make some stew, but then a young man, we don't know who he is, he went out to pick herbs. He was probably sent out to pick herbs, but he comes back with a wild gourd. How many times do we hear what we're supposed to do and change it a little bit? So the next question that we would ask ourselves is, where are you in this story? Where do you find yourself? This is my favorite part. I love imagining myself in the story. I love thinking about where would I be in this story? Maybe like the person who picks the plant and puts it in the stew. you thought you were helping, but you find yourself in a situation that's beyond your control. It didn't turn out the way that you wanted it to. And you can't get out of it on your own. Maybe, like the prophets, you have been consuming some things from culture around us or from the TV or from what we're listening to, and we haven't really reflected on what does this mean? How is this affecting me? Maybe we're witnesses to a miracle, and we've just seen God miraculously provide for us, like the prophets who ate the stew. I think we can all be a little bit like each of these people. And I think God calls us to be a little bit like Elisha too. God had revealed to Elisha the way to be saved. And he's shown us how we can be saved. And he's shown us how we can help others be saved as well. When one of my youth led this Bible story, I didn't come up with this myself, by the way. I give all the credit to one of my teenagers. She led this story in a group Bible study. And as we went around the circle and talked about, where do you see yourself in the story? She said, I see myself as the stew. And I thought, I've never thought of myself as stew before. And then she went on and she said, because our lives are like this stew. Sin has come into our life, and it's leading us to death. But that the flower is like Jesus' blood. And Jesus' blood came, and it cleansed us from our sin. And so today, if we find ourselves as a pot of stew, we're not alone. I think we've all been there. We all know, I hope we all know, the power of Jesus' death and resurrection on our behalf. And if you don't, I want to invite you today to consider accepting the gift of Jesus' death and resurrection on our behalf and to have our sins washed away. Because, friends, there is nothing better. Ever since sin entered the world that God created, it was necessary that something innocent would have to die. We see it in the atoning sacrifices of the Old Testament. We read that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that there is nothing that we could do to earn our salvation, and we know that the penalty of our sin is death. No one had to teach us how to sin. We see it in children. No one had to teach them to fight over toys. No one had to teach us to lie. Those were things we all just did, right? And so it's not crazy to think that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's not crazy to think that I have fallen short of the glory of God. We all need grace and we all need mercy. And most importantly, we need a Savior. But God didn't abandon us, lost and alone. He promised to rescue us. And that promise was accomplished by Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus knew no sin, yet he became sin for us so that we might become righteous through his sacrifice. Jesus was tempted in every way, just as we are. And yet he lived a sinless life. He was reviled and rejected. And he gave himself for our sake, so that we could have life abundant in him. He lived the perfect life that we couldn't, and he died the death that we deserved. We are saved by faith when we accept this gift. We can't earn God's favor, but we can have faith that what Jesus accomplished in his death and resurrection is enough for us. And then we can answer his call to die to ourselves and our sinful desires and to live a life worthy of the calling that he's given us. And in this way, we begin to change and to become more like Jesus. And so in today's scripture, as in the message of the gospel, we see this miraculous salvation, this miraculous provision that only God can accomplish. So having found our place in this story, The next question that we ask ourselves is, what do I need to do to obey God? How do I respond to God's word? Maybe our response is to bring the message of the gospel, the message of salvation, to people who are literally, spiritually, and physically dying in their sin. Maybe there's an invitation to consider what we're consuming. Maybe there's an invitation to receive the gift of Jesus' death and resurrection on our behalf. Maybe there's an invitation to believe that just like God used Elisha, God can use you and me, ordinary people. Because Jesus told his disciples in John 14:12, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father." These are Jesus' words, and they're his words to us. So what was Jesus doing? Someone help me out here. What was Jesus doing on earth? Well, he was... I heard someone answer. Yeah, he was setting an example for us. He lived an exemplary life. He was healing people. He was raising the dead. He was feeding the hungry. He was pointing people to the kingdom of God. In this passage, it says, we're going to do those things, and we're going to do greater things than these. Sometimes I find that hard to believe. Sometimes I struggle with that. I haven't raised any dead people. I don't know if you have. But this is what Jesus says to us. So as we think about these things, what is one thing you want to do this week to act on God's word to us today? I'd like you to turn to your neighbor and to share with them just one thing that you would like to do this week. This is maybe more talking to each other than you're used to doing during the service. That's okay. I'm not from Canada anymore. I feel free to shake things up. So God, I just want to pray for each person who has shared something they want to do in response to your word today. God, I pray that you would give us courage, that you would give us faith, that you would give us all that we need, and that we wouldn't forget these things that you've put on our hearts, but that we would actually take a step this week in obedience to you and your word. So give us courage, God, and send us out. Amen. According to the Joshua Project, Thailand is 1.8% Christian adherent, which means Christian, Protestant, Catholic, Anabaptist, that's all in there. Or if they break it down, it's 0.76% evangelical Christian. And I believe that number to be people who regularly attend church as where they're taking their statistics from. I recently heard that the church in Thailand has doubled in size in the last 12 years. At the current rate of multiplication, if it takes another 12 years to double in number, then in 2036, there will still be over 70 million people in Thailand who don't know Jesus. For this to change, God's going to have to move in people's hearts, and everyone is going to have to be involved in sharing the gospel with others to point them to the way of salvation in Jesus. So I want to share with you some stories of places where I see this happening in the churches that I get to work with in Thailand. For a lot of you, you knew me back when I went out to Thailand 11 and a half years ago, and you knew that I went out to serve one church. Well, that church has become two churches, and then those two churches became five churches within the province of Chechengsao. And then some of the members of the church from Chechengsao felt God calling them to go back to the northeast, where they have relatives and family. And now there are also four churches in the northeast. And so for those of you that knew me when I was hanging out with one church and having a lot of fun getting to teach English and do lots of different things with just one location, that isn't my life anymore. Now I get to have fun with about 10 or 12 different churches around Thailand. So these stories are from all over Thailand. So the first lady I'd like to introduce you to is Balada. Pastor Knott works selling baby shrimp, and Balada has a farm where she grows those baby shrimp until they're big enough to sell to restaurants. In January 2023, right after Christmas outreaches, Pastor Knott ended up selling her baby shrimp, and he needed to go and test the water before the shrimp would be released into the farm. But she told him she couldn't go with him because her leg was hurting. Knott asked if he could pray for her, and after praying, he invited her to church. A few days later, she started to realize that she wasn't waking up at night anymore. She didn't have to use her hands to move her leg to a new position to get comfortable. And she decided that maybe she should try coming to church. When she went to church, she heard about Jesus, and she invited Christ to be her Savior. Then she began to share with her friends and family all about what God had done in her life. And within the first month, she'd invited more than 20 people to church. Many of those people are now members of the church. Som's mom attended the same funeral as Balada. She had heard of Balada's healing, and although she was a devout Buddhist, she encouraged her daughter Som to go to church to see if God would heal her too. Som had been bedridden for months. But she went to church. And at church, she heard the message of the gospel. She heard that God had created her, that God loves her. She heard about sin and shame and guilt and how Jesus wants to free us, how he came to forgive us. And Som wanted this gift of salvation. So she made the decision to pray and to receive Christ at church. Later, the church surrounded her and prayed for her. After a while, she realized she wasn't only walking again, but she had also become a lot less angry and bitter. Her husband saw the change in her, and he put his faith in Jesus. And as soon as he'd made the decision to follow Jesus, he lost his desire to drink. But he didn't know what to do with that, so his friends would come and pound on his door and invite him to drink like they did every day. And he would turn off the lights and pretend not to be home. Later, Som's mom and her sisters came to know Jesus. And more of her family is continuing to come around. Just in December, we celebrated the baptism of two of her sisters and her daughter-in-law. Gan began to come to Hope Center in 2013 when her friend invited her to come for free English classes. As Gan learned more about God, she decided she wanted to know if God was really real. So one day she prayed, and she said, "God, if you're real, would you just show me?" That day, she said it felt like a warm arm just embraced her. And she decided that that was God showing her that he was real. So she prayed and asked Jesus to come into her life, and her life began to change. She became less anxious, and she started to pray more. Soon, she wanted to be baptized, but her mom told her she couldn't, not unless she wasn't dependent on her mom's money anymore. Her mom was sure that she would change her mind by the time that she was out of high school and university. But 3 years later, when she hadn't changed her mind yet, her mom gave in and even came to her baptism. In 2022, when Hope Center went caroling at Gan's mom's house, Boat shared the gospel with her again. She looked at us and she said, "I'm 60% there. I believe everything you say about God is true." She said, "But I am taking care of my Buddhist parents, and when they die, I will need to perform all the ceremonies for them." But miraculously, from across the room, Gan's grandpa piped up and he said, "We are one family. We are all in the same boat. If you think this is what we should do, let's do it together." And that day, Gan's grandparents and her mother prayed to receive Christ. In 2023, Gan's mom was baptized, and this past December, we asked her mom, "Would you like to host a Christmas party at your house?" And she said, "Yes." There's no churches in the entire district by her house. And so we asked if that would be okay with her, that we could have a Christmas party at her house. And she said, "Yeah, but I don't think anyone will come." And so, but she started asking people and inviting them. And then she told us maybe 10 people. 10 people might come. 60 people came to the Christmas party at her house, including a 70-year-old woman who said, "I was supposed to go to a family event today, but I'd never been to a Christmas party, and I wanted to know what it was like." That day, that woman, after hearing the gospel for the first time, made the decision to put her faith in Jesus. Gan's mom likes to tell me, "I don't know how to tell people about Jesus, but often I hear people call her when I'm at their house, and they're inviting her to different merit-making events and different events that are related to the temples, and she'll say to them, 'Oh, I don't do that anymore.' She says, 'I've decided to become a Christian like my daughter. Do you know what Jesus has done in my life?' And then she goes into long stories about what God has done in their lives. Mo was a rebellious teenager, sent to live with her great aunt Nat, which we, most of us, know as Pastor Nat. She was sent to live in Chechensau so she would straighten up. But eventually, she got into enough trouble in Chechensau that she was sent back home to Galicine. She got into a relationship with an abusive man, and eventually, knowing that she needed to get out, she asked Pastor Nat if she could come back and live with her again. When she came back to Chechensau, she got a job at a factory, but she also began to faithfully come to church and learn more about God and grow in her relationship with God. Then God called Pastor Nat to return to Galicine, to where she was born, to share the gospel with her relatives. Mo wasn't planning to go, but God used a sermon she heard to put it on her heart to serve him. And she began to fast and pray and asked God what would happen if she left her job and went back to Galicine to follow him. She said, "God, if you're calling me, I trust you to provide for me and to help my family agree with my decision too." That April, Mo had an opportunity to go to Galicine and to help with the camp. When the camp ended, there had been a group of teenagers that made the decision to put their faith in Jesus. And she wondered, who would teach them? How would they grow? She felt called to go back and disciple them, but the fear was real. Yet despite her fear, she stepped out in faith and moved back to Galicine. She began to raise her son, and she began to work with Pastor Nat to plant a church in her own community, surrounded by her relatives. She said to me, "It's been amazing and hard, And I've learned that when we suffer or face rejection, we can rejoice, because God is the one we can count on in all seasons. Boy helped build Mo's house. And as he built the house, he started to hear about all the things that Mo was learning about God, and heard from Pastor Nat about Jesus too. When he decided to check the church out, he brought his family. And Boy and Nong, are both now following Jesus and active members of the church and going out with Pastor Nat when she starts new Bible studies in new locations. Sombat was the town nuisance. The city regularly received calls about him disturbing the peace. He would carry loudspeakers around at night and blare music up and down the streets. But then he met Jesus through a friend, and his life changed. There was no church in his community, and so he opened up his home for a Bible study. Eventually, they built a room onto the front of their house to become a worship space. On the day of the grand opening, the mayor came. And the mayor said, "I don't normally approve of having other religions in our community. I'm scared that people will fight each other." But he said, "When I see Sombat and I see how his life has changed, if Jesus can do that, I want to welcome you." Sombat is currently one of our interns, and he is studying the Bible and leading the church that meets in his home. When Saifon's grandson began to attend Kids Club, she received a phone call from his teacher. And his teacher said, "What's going on with your grandchild?" She said, "He used to pick fights all the time, but now he's kind." Saifon came to church and she said, "Do you let adults come too?" She began to come to church, and as she began to come to church, God worked in her heart, and the fruit of the Spirit began to become part of her life. One day, her husband disappeared, and he didn't come back for a month. She searched for him, and yet she felt like God had put a peace in her heart that he was going to come back, even though her neighbors were all telling her, "He's probably dead by now. Who knows where he is?" When he came back, she should have been mad, but instead she welcomed him home. Because of her kindness, he began to come to church, and he made the decision to follow Christ too. And God's been doing an incredible work in their family. Chiang Mai had some major floods this last year. And when the Rimkan area flooded, the church stepped in to help. After cleaning up the house that they meet in for church, they began to help other families clean out their homes, especially people in the neighborhood that didn't have any relatives nearby. In the end, they dug out 12 homes. And because of the love and the care shown by this community, the Buddhist community around them began to notice the church and began to say, "You guys aren't so bad." Two older men, Chuai and Pitt, made the decision to come to church for the first time. They joined the fellowship meal and they stayed for worship and Bible study. After a few weeks, they made the decision to follow Christ. Within that same week, they invited their pastor to go with them to tell their friends about Jesus. And it wasn't very many weeks later that they were asking to be baptized. It has been really fun to watch people grow in their faith. Some of the kids that I worked with at the beginning, Ice, Som, and New, started out as Sunday school kids at Bethel when their classmate invited them to church. Now these girls are in university, and they're sharing the love of Jesus by leading new kids' clubs in new communities. And I could tell you lots more stories. Like Bonus, who invited her elementary school teacher to church, or Juan, who was touched by Gan's testimony and made the decision to follow Christ after camp. But I want to close off with one more verse. We find this verse in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, and I think it's a verse we're all familiar with. So let's read it together. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus is giving a command to his followers, a command to you and me. And the command is surrounded, it's sandwiched between Jesus' authority and his promise to be with us always. Go, and as you go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching these new disciples to obey all the commands he's given us, including this one, the command to go and make disciples. And as we do this, in Jesus' authority, he goes with us, and more people will come to know him. Jesus sends disciples empowered by the Spirit on God's mission to love, reconcile, and transform people of all nations. We've talked about a lot of things today, but before we close, I'd like you to turn once again to your neighbor, and I'd like you to share with them one thing you want to remember from what we've talked about today. Friends, God still does miracles, and he often does them through ordinary people just like you and me. So I want to thank you. Thank you for being part of what God is doing in Thailand. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Thank you for hosting me, for encouraging me, as I've been able to visit with several of you. And I also want to encourage you to be part of a challenge. I'm calling it the 5x5x5 prayer challenge. And so I would like to invite you to commit to praying together with us for 5 minutes, 5 days a week, 5 prayer requests. And so if you want to jump in on that challenge, I have prayer cards in the back, and there's an insert in those prayer cards. It's orange. And on there are 5 prayer requests for the church in Thailand. And so I would invite you to grab one of those before you leave and to join us in praying for the church. So thank you once again for the opportunity to be here, and I'm just going to close us off with a word of prayer. God, thank you. Thank you that your word is alive and active. Thank you that when we read the stories in the Bible, that they aren't just stories from long ago, but that they're your word to us today. Thank you that we can play a role in sharing the gospel with people, whether it's our neighbors, whether it's people in town, whether it's people across the world. God, it's such a privilege to be part of what you're doing. And so we just thank you. And I ask that you would bless Bridgeway Church and that you would send us out, God, and use us to bring many more people to you. In Jesus' name, amen.